Hey everyone, this is Josh from Solopreneur Grind, and I am here with Dominic Brightman. Dom, really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Oh, thanks for having me, man. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Looking forward to hearing all about your story that I've done some digging up on online. But for those who haven't heard of you, Dom, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're coming from?
Sure. I'm coming up from the north side of the world, depending on where you are, out in the Baltimore, Maryland area. I'm a millennial entrepreneur. Well, recently, best-selling millennial entrepreneur. Recently launched my book, Stay the Course, the Elite Performance 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. And on Sunday night, it actually made number one new release for at least a good couple hours. So I get to claim bestseller status now, which is awesome. Now I just got to keep pushing it out there so I can try to keep the title. But yeah, awesome. Just a best-selling author and speaker. Love to speak, love to encourage people, and also work at a library as well, where I love working with people and the books as well. So just a book guy who writes books, reads books, and likes advertising books about others so that they can read and advance themselves in life.
Awesome. And I definitely want to get into your book and some other books and recommendations. But I'd love to start closer to the beginning of your story. What was it like growing up, or when did kind of books and entrepreneurship and that type of stuff start for Dom?
I have to say it started probably back in 2012. I mean, sure, that was when I was 21. I mean, sure, I lived longer than that, but that was probably when it really started, because 2012 was the year that the minds predicted that the world was going to end. But sure, we just lost Twinkies for a month, and that's really all that really happened from a global standpoint. But yeah, from a more local learner standpoint, that was the year my father's Alzheimer's really started to show itself, and he got lost and we had to find him. And he was 40 miles away in a small city where we don't even normally go. And then I got into a car accident 2 months later on my 21st birthday while I was on the way to class. And all of that culminating in being in the meeting with my boss at the time, because one thing about me is I tend to keep a little private about myself. I like to celebrate others and all that good stuff. I usually stay a little private, believe it or not. And I don't usually volunteer too much information, and I was slacking on my job. I thought I was doing A-okay, but I really wasn't. So all that culminated into this desire for change. I had to do something different. So just had to go down into the 650s of the library. That's where the leadership books are. Picked up a book by John Maxwell, and then just went ahead and became a voracious reader. Read books on leadership, business, psychology, sales, biographies, and being inspired to actually do something more out of life, and joining Toastmasters and doing public speaking seminars at my church as well, just to help out folks, because that's a skill that's basically not really taught in schools these days. I mean, you might get a class in college. You're lucky if you get a class in high school about it, but that's really all there is. And just being able to help other people with that skill, and then just going down the road and publishing two books now and being able to get on this podcast, it's really just an amazing thing. So I have to say, just the whole year of 21, the whole drinking age, funny enough, I didn't even drink. That's the funny part about it. It's like, yeah, that was the real start of it.
Right. That's really interesting. Dom, can you talk a little bit more about where you were at on like a personal and educational level? You said you weren't you thought you were doing okay with your job. Like what were you doing for work? Kind of what was your environment like? And then I know you said you're not big on sharing, but I'm going to prod you a little bit here. Like what was the deeper desire that kind of came out of you at that point?
Yeah, for that at work, it's like, yeah, it was a situation where it was basically a new season, fall was coming in, coming off of the summer vacation, getting three new staff members, three new part-timers, and I was a part-time employee at the time, and I was there for 5 years at the time, and I was going to be one of the folks that people are going to look at. It's like, okay, this guy's been here for 5 years, so he's got to know something, right? And I did know stuff. It's just that at that time, I wasn't really all there mentally. Sometimes miscommunication between certain staff members, and then that And then just realizing, like, hey, my parents, they want me to do good things and great things in this world, and I love them and try to honor them. So it's like, hey, I want to at least try to do good on here, so let me at least try to change something. And funny enough, before that, even though I worked in the library for 5 years, being in school at the time, I really didn't have a love for reading. And plus, with college work, you get a lot of textbooks, and granted, not all professors use them, but still, you're going to be doing a lot of reading that's focused on one subject. And if you're not passionate about it, then you're not going to read too much of anything else. So that just killed the love for reading. But I was able to find it after getting my associates at the time, and then having more time to read more books that I actually wanted to read. So just that desire to just basically just also to try to make parents happy, as well as just doing something better for myself. Cause I mean, there's greatness within me. I'm in potential. There's no real measure for it, and I'm doing okay now, but I know I can do more. So it's just really just the realization that, hey, I got some folks that I want to make happy. And then there's some other folks that I kind of need to prove wrong. And
right.
Just that deeper desire to just get out there and do something with my life, because this is the perfect time and the perfect generation to do it, because no other generation has had access to so much material and just tools to actually just do just about anything positive that you want to do in life. So that's really what sparked that.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, almost too much information, if especially if you're considering online. Dom, can you talk a little bit about when you first got back into books, or I guess into them for the first time? If you were advising someone who isn't a reader themselves, but maybe they're going through that similar kind of awakening that you went through, where you're realizing that you have more potential, you want to make improvements, what was your approach to books at the beginning, and what would you recommend to other people if maybe they're at that same point that you were back at 21?
I'd say with that is just start with a small book. So a nice book that anyone can start with is As a Man Thinketh. For those who, maybe ladies, they have a more gender-friendly version called As a Woman Thinketh if you're a lady. But As a Man Thinketh, it's a nice 64-page book. John Maxwell, Tony Robbins, they recommend this book constantly because it's a good short read that anybody can get into, and it talks all about the mind and how your mind is a garden and you have to tend to it daily, and you want to keep weeds out of your mind, and it goes deeper into that. So I'd say for those who may want to read more, I'd say start with the smaller books and just start with like a chapter a day. Just go for 10 minutes or 10 pages. I mean, that
right.
It's and it can be especially hard to read nowadays, so audiobooks are an option too. So audible.com, that's like the big site for all audiobooks. If you go into your local library, if your car still has a CD player, then you can check out an audiobook. And heck, they even have other options like Libby, where you can check out, or possibly Hoopla, where you can check out digital ebooks, where that way you can still get the information that you desire. And I'd say try to focus on one particular subject, or at least one to three subjects that are symbiotic, that can be synthesized together, so that way you don't get too muddled down with information. Because I mean, if you are kind of right with the online business thing, it's like you can be obese with information, you can be mentally slow from all the stimulation from all these different sites and apps, where it's like you'll be paralyzed by information. It's like paralysis by analysis, as they say. So just start small and then work your way up.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I mean, just like with anything else, right? So what happened next? What were the, like, from the day, let's say, that flip switched, you got into books, you picked up your first one, you started reading a lot more. What were the next 6 to 12 months like? What type of effects did the reading or just the mind shift have, and what started changing in your life?
I have to say a lot of changes happened. So in addition to the reading, one of the audios I was listening to mentioned Toastmasters International. And I got into that organization. And for those who don't know, Toastmasters is this nonprofit organization that's been around for 90 plus years where it teaches folks how to communicate and lead effectively, because it's where leaders are made and leaders communicate effectively. So I joined a couple clubs. I joined two clubs there, both about a good 20 minutes away from my house, and they meet on separate days, but on the same day of the week. So one meets like on one Wednesday, and the other Wednesday, another one meets. So every Wednesday, I'm basically dedicating time towards getting better with my public speaking and leadership. But those right. next 6 to 12 months were great, because I joined that organization. I got out of my introverted self and actually networked too, because that's another thing about the organization. I like to call it the low impact networking for introverts, because if you go into a room with about a good 10 to 30 people that are in there for just about the same reasons you are, just to get better at something, then it's going to be a warm, welcoming environment. So just going to there, then leading my first public speaking seminar successfully at my church with a good friend of mine, and just getting the lessons from that, and then getting promoted to full time that summer, and just taking all of that and just keep on going. And one of the things that I picked up from a couple books was 5 questions to design your day. So there's 2 of them that are easy. So there's one where you wake up in the morning and you ask yourself, what good am I going to do today? And if you write something down, it's like, all right, I'll be sure to smile a little more in front of someone, make their day, especially in customer service. It's always good to be pleasant, especially when everybody's fighting an invisible battle. The next right. one is, what can I share? Like, what can I share today? So in addition to a smile, maybe a kind word, or maybe some advice that someone may be asking for, or something that they may be doing. And then the third question is, what must I do? So this is where you tackle something that you've been slacking off on, whether it was 3 days, 3 months, or possibly 3 years, where you take steps to knock that out. Those are just the preparation questions. And then the second half, the other two, is what good did I do today? So if you took action on the first question, you have the answer to the fourth question. And the fifth and final question is, what did I learn today? And it can be something small. I mean, like one thing I remember writing down a few years ago when I asked myself this question daily was that sometimes, even though folks may tell me I have this radio voice for years, I can't be monotone for the whole darn presentation. Got to vary the pace, the tone, the pitch, and everything. So just writing notes like that down and building up your self-awareness so that way you can become an elite performer. So that's really what the first 3 to 12 months looked like, where it's just growing at a nice, good pace and just getting job promotions, then eventually networking with other people and getting more out of my shell and growing more.
Right. That sounds like a really, really cool year, to be honest. And then what was the next step from there? How did some of this other more entrepreneurial stuff, the books and the speaking engagements, how did that stuff come about? It sounds like it's just kind of the natural next step based on the growth that you were seeing, but how did it actually play out in practice?
Yeah, the practice part, that usually came late. So the first year was great. Second year kind of coasted a bit, focused more on just staying where I was and then just growing physically. But then the following year is when I hired a coach, and I was a little apprehensive first, like, a life coach, really? And then,
right.
Yeah, but it's a multi-billion-dollar industry, and it's like everybody needs that one person to hold them accountable, because accountability is where your actions will have more punch, if for lack of a better word.
Right.
Yeah, so the life coach I had was a guy by the name of Daniel Alley, and he has a TED Talk that has probably about a good 8 million views now. And he came to a Toastmasters meeting, and he was giving this speech on how to act like a leader. So you have to be audacious, contagious, and tenacious. And he was selling his book after that. That meeting, and then hiring him as a coach, I realized, like, hey, this guy's only 2 years older than me. He was 25, and I was probably like 23 at the time. And I was reading through his book, and I realized, wait, this guy's talking about the same stuff I'm reading about. I can do this too. So taking him on as a coach, I was able to not only gain more confidence and then basically put my professional development on steroids by taking on district leadership positions in a place that's probably about a good hour away from where I live and networking with people outside of my normal community. I was able to network and build a way of following because I was connecting with people and giving talks at different organizations and then eventually publishing my book because looking through his book, he was giving me some advice on what he did to publish his book as well as publish certain articles, and that helped me to launch it. And funny enough, after basically going around and giving these talks and then even compiling lists of books called the 100 Books of Dynamic Living, I was able to also give that out to people as a creative business card. It was like, hey, this guy likes to read, and he's like, share me his contact information. All right, this is this is cool. It's like, it's a less chance that I'll end up in the trash. Right.
Yeah.
And that was really kind of where it went. So basically taking the knowledge I had, then basically getting the accountability factor through a life coach, and then just gleaning from whatever he was doing and publishing the first book, and then just pitching and selling that around town as well as online and all that other good stuff. It was really just an interesting thing because, funny enough, it's like deep within, it was probably there, but it didn't really come out. It took a process because the year before I mentioned how the progress kind of halted a bit, and it's kind of like a timing thing. It's kind of like an incubation period, or the kind of, it's almost like a buzzword now where it says trust the process. You got to trust the process and things come in their own time. It's like I probably wouldn't be able to write the book that I wrote back in 2016 if I didn't go through certain things in 2015 and 14 and 13. So it's just a process thing.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And all of those speaking engagements that you were talking about at the beginning stages, how did you set those up? Like, let's say there's people listening who want to get more into speaking. How were you landing them? Are there certain types of organizations or companies people should look for? Or I'd love to hear more about how you got into that.
Yeah. So basically, if you're like a high school graduate, one thing you do is go back to high school, be like, hey, I'm an alumni here. Like, hey, you need a speaker for a random career day or a general assembly. And basically just reaching out to those folks. I had a good relationship with my high school, got into there, and they do, I'm a Christian, so went to Christian high school, and they have chapel services every Monday. So just talking with them and getting into there. That's one way. Also, there's another thing where you can do is visiting other Toastmasters clubs themselves, because one thing about the leadership position I held at one time, it was area director where you oversee five clubs in an area. So just mentioning that, hey, I'm like an area director over these other clubs, and I figured I'd visit you guys and see what you all are all about. And then if you're interested, I can give a speech too, all about Toastmasters, right, what it did for me and what it can do for you. So just reaching out and just having that, I guess, that mutual fact connection piece, that factor where you basically have the same goal, and just mentioning like, hey, I have this presentation that I can give, and just seeing out coming from a place of service. So just finding your own acres of diamonds, because there's gold beneath everyone's set of feet right now, where you can be a success where you are if you just tap into your current network. So just high schools and colleges. And funny enough, I was doing CrossFit one day in the kickboxing class beforehand. We're punching the mitts and whatever. And she mentioned, hey, my boyfriend, he sets up speakers for Stevenson University. He's like, hey, you want me to get you in contact with him? I'm like, oh, sure. Yeah. And just random conversations like that. Like how, like Grant Cardone says, just keeping your sword open and being aware in random conversations. Like, hey, what do you do? I'm a motivational speaking librarian. It's like, oh, okay, I need to have you over here. Like, that's like, you never hear that. So,
right.
Just basically being open and aware in random conversations like that, and just a kickboxing class with the old classmate is like, wow, it can set you up for success.
Right. And just hitting that network is so crucial, like you mentioned. Do you have any tips, Dom? Let's say someone does want to get into speaking and they like these strategies. They have some ideas of places in their network they want to hit up, but maybe they've never really given a speech in that regard, or maybe they have a little bit, but you know, most of us it's in school and it's highly structured and it's like an assignment. You have a rubric. What are your top few tips for people in terms of, you know, whether it be motivational speaking or you know, any of those types of topics, you know, from your experience?
Multiple. So the easiest one you might see coming. One is join Toastmasters. Find a local Toastmasters group. Go to Toastmasters.org. Type in your zip code. A few clubs will show up. Find out one that works for you, their time. Go there, attend, volunteer for a table topic. That way you get to speak off the cuff extemporaneously. It'll be a topic you won't know about. So it may be fear, but get over that. Just basically get that stage time. That's the thing about Toastmasters. If you get up there long enough and you get that stage time, you'll be able to get those butterflies in your stomach to fly information, because anybody who tells you that they're not nervous before a presentation, they're either lying or they're cocky. The times when I wasn't nervous before a presentation, I bombed miserably. So it's always good to have nervous energy, because that shows that you're ready to deliver the goods to the folks you're talking to. Tip number two, for those who have Facebook accounts, you can do a Facebook Live, have a good friend of yours, probably like sit on the couch or whatever. If you have a set amount of content, what you can do is you can probably have them interview you, just feed you questions in a way you can call like, I don't know, like the motivational couch sessions. I mean, that right. Sounds like an oxymoron. I mean, you're on a couch telling me to be motivated. But yeah, just have like a friend, like sit with you, and you can do a Facebook Live together, have an interview, so that way you can be comfortable with it, and then you can run on with that. Or if you just want to do it by yourself, that's cool too. And then, of course, practicing in front of a mirror, that's good too. And also having your main points on a note card when you start off, so that way you can stay on track and in a way stay the course to your topic. So just getting out there and speaking. You can do Facebook Live, you can do IGTV, heck, even if you're maybe even volunteer to teach a class at like your local church or like a local nonprofit group, or like maybe a Rotary Club or Kiwanis Club. There's just so many things you can do. So there's that. Heck, even starting a podcast, that's a way too. That's in a way, that's kind of like a speech in a way, if you do solo, where you just talk to a mic for however you want, whether it be 5, 10, or 20, or 60 minutes.
For sure. Yeah, that's great advice. And I like how you worded the nervous energy. You know, if you think about it as that added energy, it kind of spins the nervousness into a positive, which is really great. And definitely agree on the podcasting. I find that even as a host, you kind of, you know, you're not put on the spot for most of the episode, but you're still kind of organizing the show how you want to, you know, how you want to direct your listeners and your guest and speaking freely. So there is an element there as well that I really enjoy. And I did enjoy yours. I listened to a few episodes as well. So Dom, I got to get into books because are you still a part-time librarian?
Oh no, full-time. I've been full-time for about full-time. A good 4 years now. So no, this isn't a full-time gig speaking and all that good stuff, because some months, I mean, yeah, you can be a best-selling author on Amazon, but you got to keep that rating up. And some months, if you don't market yourself, you're going to be in the desert. So,
for sure.
It's a side hustle status right now.
For sure. Can you talk a little bit what it's like being a librarian as someone I've been a voracious reader my whole life since I was, as long as I can remember. I don't really know how, but I always had the habit of reading at night before bed, and I'm glad I did. And I love libraries. I still read only physical copies. I don't like ebooks. And so, you know, libraries just fascinate me. Can you, more on a personal curiosity level, just what it's like working full-time in a library?
Sure. So there's different types of libraries, university libraries and public libraries. I work at a public one. And the one I work at in particular, where We're kind of like your one that's out the box or out the circle. So if you have a nice little box in the middle of a piece of paper, we would be that small dot outside the box because we're not your average library because we serve everybody. I mean, from a business standpoint, it's like, find your niche. I'm like, no, libraries, it's a community hub. You're serving everybody. So we have a place called Storyville for kids birth to five where they basically have a kindergarten readiness center where it has a bunch of toys and play areas based off of real life areas like a grocery store and a miniature library in a library, a little Pimp My Ride exhibit reference there, and a little kitchen as well as a little post office and a little baby park for the kids to just have some tactile learning. And then we have the stream space where it's for the folks who get out of Storyville. They turn six. From 6 to 12, we got an area for them where there's even more toys that can help them learn and grow and continuously develop. Then the teens, the particular library I work at, we serve 1 to 300 teens every weekday, Monday through Friday, because they have a high school directly behind us and we're a drop-off point for 5 to 7 schools after school. So we're kind of like the community daycare. That's part of the job description they don't tell you about. And afternoon from 2 to 6:30, we just serve those kids. We got video game systems like 2 PlayStation 4s and a Nintendo Wii. And then we also do a teen job fair annually as well to help get them employed, at least get them used to being interviewed, creating resumes. And speaking of resumes, there's the adults. Sometimes there may be jazz nights and other programs for the adults as well. And then there's also the senior citizens as well who may have been out of work for a few years and then they may need to get back to work because that Social Security check may not be looking so pretty and they need some extra money and they hate computers. So they come to us and they get computer help because they're like, I hate computers, but darn it, I need to learn how to use a computer. So we help them with one-on-one. We have something called My Librarian where for free of charge, you can set up an appointment with your friendly neighborhood librarian and learn just about almost anything basic about computers from any of the Microsoft Office suites like Microsoft Word, PowerPoint, or Excel to basic computer skills, internet, and even social media if they want to go that route. But we haven't had anyone ask for social media help in like a couple years. So, but yeah, just basically everybody. It's a real great place. Every day is different. And sometimes folks can get a little personal, forget you're a librarian, and then you become their bartender. They tell you stories and serve them the paper knowledge known as books and other material. Instead of pouring them up drinks, you pour them up knowledge, and they just vent their life stories to you. But it's all good, though, because it's like you generate relationships with those in the community, and you try to just help out as many people as possible. So it's a really great experience, and it keeps you on your toes, and you get that feeling of fulfillment at the end of the day. It's like, I helped this person get one step closer to getting that job, and maybe they felt better coming because they just saw a smiling face that actually gave them eye contact for the day.
Right, right. Yeah, that sounds amazing, and a pretty fun place to work too. Dom, what has your relationship been like with books since 21 then? I mean, especially considering you live in a library, do you just devour them, or are you a fast reader? Are you a slower reader?
Yeah, my relationship with books, I love books. Funny enough, I remember one time shadowing at another library, helping out, covering for them when they were short-staffed, and this one part-time staff member had a little pin on a lanyard that says, we'll work for books, because that's basically what her pay is. Because it's like when you work a library long enough, you see an interesting title every day, folks returning stuff. And I just love books. My reading list grows every single day. And with my podcast, the Going North podcast, I interview authors. And I usually try to read some of their books, if not all their books before I interview them. And that just grows exponentially, too. So I got my own personal library. It grows. I go to Amazon. I go to bookstores and go to book signings and events and buy books from folks, get an autograph and all that good stuff. And it's just a big love for books. And I picked up a couple speed reading techniques where I use my finger or pen to blaze through certain pages, and especially with certain nonfiction books, you may can skim over some of the stuff and get to the main point. And the funny thing about it is with books, there are too many books out there to try to read all of them. And Life is short and long. So it's like, do you really want to try to read every book in the world? I mean, and every book is not good. Some of them may not even be finished. So it's like, yeah, the love for books, it's there. I picked up speed reading techniques so I can read a pretty fast amount. But the last time I did a speed reading test, that was probably about a year ago, probably need to do it again. I think my average was about a good 294 words a minute, so that was pretty good.
Right. Do you have it? Can you share any of those tips for some of us? I think I'm a pretty average speed reader. I don't think I'm slow, but I'm definitely not that fast. Any tips that you can share?
Oh, yes, indeed. So just use basically your finger or pen. I'd say the quicker way is probably with like a pen and using that, just underlining the words on a page and just going down line by line and not trying to read in your head. And that's kind of easier said than done, because I still haven't fully gotten rid of that yet with all books. Because sometimes when you underline certain words and then something clicks, pops up at you, it's like, oh, shoot, it's okay to stop with that. So just using a pen to underline the words and sometimes zigzagging down the page can work too, where it's like, okay, that makes sense. All right, shoot. Yep. From right to left. It's almost like you're in an active shooter drill and you're running zigzag through the hallways.
Right. I have to ask, Dom, I normally ask my guests, kind of depending on what they do, for, you know, one or two book recommendations. I think I have to ask for more in this case, because you've read so many and you work in a library. Keeping in mind that probably most of my listeners are business focused, entrepreneurial, maybe at interesting points in their lives where they're looking to start fresh. Do you have like even 3 to 5 books that you highly recommend or that you recommend to everybody?
Sure. Yes. And I'll start with one I've been going through recently, and some of your listeners might know him or not. His pastor by the name of Wayne Codario. So let's see, last name Codeiro. And it's a book called Leading on Empty. This is a book I wish I would have read around a good 3 to 4 years ago before I let myself get burnt out with district leadership and helping out so many folks without taking the time for self-care. It goes into how he was leading for so many years as a pastor and is growing his church and helping out so many people that he ended up being waking up one day and then falling back in his bed, passed out for 5 straight days because he worked his body so hard he didn't take care of himself. So it goes into tips and strategies to help avoid burnout, as well as just taking rest days for yourself. That's useful for the folks who may be leaders of a big company and they may have to lead a bunch of people, and it just gives tips on avoiding burnout. That's one book. The next book I'd recommend is a John C. Maxwell book called The 21 Indisputable Qualities of a Leader. And folks usually like to talk about the Laws book, the red and black one, but this one is the black and gold and green book. This one's the smaller one that talks about the qualities of a leader. It's about a good 180 pages, so it's a pretty good pocket-sized book that won't take you too long to read. That is probably my favorite John Maxwell book to this day, because it's one of the few books that I've actually read more than once.
Right.
And the activities in the back, they're really actionable, and they help me to get out of my introvert self and be more of an extrovert. The next book I'd have to say would be The 10X Rule by Grant Cardone. And I have to say, it would probably be even better if you listen to this one, because that book is really great, especially the audio, because he's putting his essence into the book and it helps you to expand your thinking and stop thinking so darn small. It's like, why just read books, write your own? It's like a real one to expand your thinking. So the 10X Rule is the third one. The fourth one I have to say would probably be the Bible itself, and to go more deeply, since it's really a compilation of books, is the Book of Proverbs. And it's a book that's in the middle, right before the Book of Psalms. It gives wisdom that can guide you every day. And there's 31 chapters, so a proverb a day. That's pretty doable. You can probably do one chapter a day. That'll take you like maybe 5 to 10 minutes.
Right.
Just going deeper into that. And the fifth one would have to be my own book, Going North, Tips and Techniques to Advance Yourself, because at the end of the book, I give you 100 other book recommendations to go by called The Books for Dynamic Living. And I also read the book too, so it's available on Audible. So if you like the voice and you want to hear it while you might be fighting traffic on your way to full-time entrepreneurship, then that's one you definitely want to pick up.
Awesome. Do you want to just, could you tell us a little bit more about, we're kind of coming to the end of the episode and would love to hear you plug a little bit more about what type of book it is. Like what exactly are you covering in it?
Sure. So Going North, it is my first entry into the business of immortality of authorship. This book is nice and small and simple to read. It's 50 pages because folks don't have time for 500 pages. So it goes into how to develop and maintain a positive mental attitude. Folks tell you how to develop one. They don't tell you how to maintain it. So I go deeper into that in chapter 2 with the RAVE method. And then it also talks about how focus allows your losses to mean something. So there may be times where you may think you may have lost something, but if you have got a lesson from that quote-unquote loss, then it's not really a failure. It's really just another lesson to add into your utility belt for success. And then there's also the last part of the chapter where it even talks about how life is incomplete yet immaculate, perfectly imperfect, where even though you may be going through a struggle right now, you can always find a way to become better. And it also leads into the next book that folks can also pick up, Stay the Course. That'll be launching on May the 8th, where it even goes deeper into some things I didn't touch in the first book, Going North. And it just talks about the keys to becoming a lead performer. And the main way to become a lead performer is through awareness. And that's awareness in five different areas of your life. And that's through your mental awareness, your influence awareness, your time awareness, your habit awareness, as well as your connection awareness. So being aware in all facets of your life and how you can continuously push to your greatness. So those are the two books out there. Go out there and snag them.
Awesome, Dom. Really appreciate you coming on. And what if people just want to check you out? Where can they find you online?
Oh, yeah. Just go ahead and type in dombrightman.com. That'll point you to my social media handles and all that good stuff. Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, all of Dom Brightman. Feel free to slide into my DMs for some motivation.
Awesome. Great. And we'll provide links to all those in the description, depending on where you're listening to this. But Dom, thanks again for coming on. Really appreciate you and all your time.
Oh, thanks for having me, Josh. You, sir, are the man.
Thanks, Dom. Take care. Hey everyone, Josh checking in just one more time. Wanted to say thanks a lot for listening to the episode. Hope you got a lot of value out of it. And I wanted to see if you're interested in joining my email list. The link will be in the description of whatever podcast platform you're listening to this episode on, whether it be iTunes or Google Play or whatever. And what I do is I send out 3 emails a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, usually in the morning. And they're pretty short, usually around 300-400 words. And what I'm doing is sharing some extra thoughts, insights, ideas, struggles, lessons I've learned, because I am running my own service business too, and I love to share my thoughts, opinions, and just want to add some more value right to your inbox every week. So if you're interested, take a look at the sign up link in the podcast description on whatever you're listening this to on, and I hope to see you there, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. Take care.